so we need to be grateful. I mean, sincerely. I need you to master the art of gratitude. Gratitude, gratitude. Because gratitude opens the door of heaven. I want you this month to terminate murmuring, complaining, grumbling, dissatisfaction. This month, I want you to pretend to be happy. Yeah? What do I mean by that, Pastor? What do I mean by pretend to be happy? If there's anything that is designed to make you sad, choose to be happy. Because it's a skill you must master. You have to be thick-skinned to succeed in life. You have to know what you are doing as a Christian. And so, you want to learn the ways of Christ. Most of the time, Jesus said to a woman by the well, he said, you don't know what you worship. In other words, you say all these nice things, religious things, but you actually are void of understanding. You don't understand the process. You don't know what is going on. You don't know how to work anything, but you just talk the talk. Does that make sense? And then Jesus then stepped back and said, actually, this is who you are. You've been married 7 times. He brought in his giftings. He said, in fact, the man that you're even living with right now is not even your husband. Does that make sense? And so Jesus was able to use his spiritual gift to really interrupt that woman and say, listen, don't do smoke screen here. I know where you are spiritually. And many of us are like that. There's so much smoke screen, right? But we don't really know what we are doing. Even if we do, it's such a head knowledge, like one of those academic things. You know, one of those elective courses that you take, you don't even know it's not relevant to your they call it electives, right? Yeah, it's not relevant to your destiny, but say you have to take it anyway. So you do it for doing sake. Many of us, we have that routine. There are so many things we do for doing sake. We don't really understand the impact and why. So there's not a conscious drive behind it whenever we do it. And one of them is Thanksgiving. I want to challenge you today to really be grateful. To really be grateful. Why? Because gratitude itself is a tool. And I want to show you from scripture. There's only one person we study. We study Jesus. We study Jesus. And you see, one of the things I love about this church, and I love about England in particular, is our schooling system. Our schooling system, it was Pastor Roberts, we're having dinner one day, and he said something. He said, Eddie, he said, do you know that the school system here is designed and geared to make people critical? He said, in America, he said, the school system is geared to make you believe and want to become. He said, but the school system here is geared to make you critical. So that means that as a Brit, your first thought is, it's not going to work. Yeah? That's your education system. So as good as that is, the advantage of that kind of system is that it will help you grow depth if you are serious. But the disadvantage of that thing is that you will never try anything new, and you will always be negative. All right? So let's look at a good part today. The good part is that you are groomed and wired to think in a certain way. In other words, you cannot be fooled. It will be very rare. You know, whenever people sell me anything, I always ask them, if the Americans sell it, I say, okay. If that thing does one, they'll say, wow, it did 100! If a Brit says it did 10, maybe it did 1,000. Yeah? Because of that same thing. So we need to look at Jesus. And you must do what Jesus did. That is, this whole game, this whole worship, the whole plan, the whole process is that you be like the master. You have to be like the master. You cannot outsource it. You cannot be like Pastor Eddie. I've been on this journey since 1988. Man, I'm cooked. I'm really cooked. I have been consistent with building my life spiritually since 1998. I didn't muck around. I don't like mucking around. I'm so result-oriented. But you have to be like Christ. And to be like Christ is to look at the way Christ did certain things in scriptures and model yourself after him. Does that make sense? How many of you love miracles here? Okay, only Pastor Bola and I love miracles. How many of you love miracles here? All right. So, well, let's look at the life of Jesus. And I want to talk about the place of thanksgiving today. Look at first. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God. Pastor, I don't know what the will of God is. Give thanks. If you find yourself, listen very carefully, this is going to be a very tough thing for you to do. And what I'm saying is that for you to get the best of God, you need to really get ready to banish complaints and murmuring and you know, complaining and griping and murmuring out of your Christian life. You really, and it will require discipline to do this. That means that anytime that things are not working, anytime you find that things are not working, your natural reaction will not be to complain, but to really get into God and say, Lord, I really thank you. What are you doing in my life in this area? Does that make sense, church? Now, that would be the toughest thing you will ever do. Because the natural man is programmed to complain. The natural man is programmed to whinge. The natural man is programmed to be sad when negative things happen. But God is saying that this is not in faith. That is not how it works. He said, in faith, this is what you do. You give thanks. In other words, God owns you. God owns you. You don't have a voice. You don't have a mind. You don't have a thinking of your own. You are in God. And Colossians says that your life is in Christ and Christ is in God. You are bought, purchased, bought over. That's what the Bible says. It is the will of God. I want to practice this because Jesus used this key to do so many things. We know in John, if you look at John chapter 6, verse 11 to 13, we know that scripture, the feeding of the 5,000. The Bible says that there was nothing. They had nothing. They had only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Don't just look at that because it still applies to you today because it's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It doesn't change. Listen very carefully. There's a manual for living in life, and that manual is in the life of Christ. There's a manual for living in life. That manual is in studying the life of Christ. And so we see here in John, there was scarcity. They were in a desert. Nothing was happening. And the Bible says, Jesus said, so what do we have? He said, well, we don't have anything, but there's a kid here that has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, it's enough. That is more than enough. You have more than enough. If you study the life of Christ, I want you to study the life of Christ. That is what your education prepared you for. Your education prepares you to study, to do case studies and analysis. Do the case study. Jesus is the case study. You do the analysis. Does that make sense? And so the Bible says, so he took that bread and then he blessed it and gave thanks. And then he said, take, go and share it. We went to Israel last year and we're going again next year, and this our tour guide, our history and scripture teacher, he showed us that he did the feeding of the 5,000 in the Jewish quarters, then he got on a boat and crossed over to the Gentiles and he fed 4,000. I used to think that was just a repetition in the Bible, but they're actually two different quarters. That means that what Jesus did was not a fluke. That means that the method he used is replicable. It means that you can repeat it, you can repeat it time and time again. So he did it the first time, he didn't just do it as God. No, he did it the first time, there was scarcity. If there's any scarcity in your life, give thanks. There was unhappiness. There were a bunch of people who were complaining that, look, we've been here for days and they were hungry and they were starving. There are people today who are hungry and starving. Maybe you are hungry and you are starving in certain area of your life. It may not be food, but it could just be there's something that you've been hungry for a very long time that up till now has not been delivered. Give thanks. And so the Bible says he got that 5 loaves and then he blessed it and then he gave thanks. And then the Bible says here in John chapter 6 verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, so as much as they wanted. So they were filled. And he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. We gather fragments for that which is not enough. And what I'm teaching you this morning is this. What you have as seed right now is enough. If you can just overlay that with a heart of gratitude, I mean sincere gratitude, not thank you, not thank you, Lord. You know, anybody can say thank you, Lord. You can say thank you, Lord, without thought. You can say thank you, Lord, without thought. You can say thank you, Lord, because it's something nice today to say. You can say just thank you, Lord, because, yeah, that's what they say, we should say, we have to say thank you. But do you really see thank you as a means of spiritual engagement? Do you really see thank you as a tool? If you see thank you as a tool, you will sit down and meditate and ask yourself, how can I put this tool to use? Then you will test that tool time and time again to ensure that you have expertise at it. Many of you today, when your phone is a tool of communication. Well, for those of you who are inquisitive, when you have the phone, when you get the bracelet, what's the next one coming out? Is it iPhone 8? Is it iPhone 8? Yeah. Is it 10? Which one can sing and dance? I don't know which one. 10 can sing and dance, eh? In your world, Pastor Angela, isn't it? Oh, well, it does. Have you seen Alexa? Is it Alexa? Alexa, yeah. Is it our Alexis? I mean, all these robots are taking over the world, you see? Yeah. Now, can you imagine? Don't put Alexa in your house. Alexa. Alexa, punch daddy. Aha. You just wake up and you see that thing flying in the air. Boom. Say, daddy punched. Daddy punched. Call 911. All right. So, listen very carefully. What do you do when you have a tool? At some point, you use it for the basic. Hello? Yeah. One of you don't use it for the basic. You just show it off. Because I don't know how people do that. You just get a. Have you noticed people when they get a brand new phone, right? Even if they don't want to make a phone call, just bring it out and just like that. Especially towards Christmas time. Yeah, just pick out your phone. Those who have brand new phones, that's what they do, isn't it? Yeah. The one that annoys me the most is that they won't put it to their ears because it won't serve the purpose of fulfillment. You won't see it. They put it on speaker. Hello? Yes. Yeah, I can hear you. You know? Yeah, if you're like me, I usually get jealous when I see those kind of things, especially on Christmas time. It's so annoying. I just want to just take that phone and shove it down their throat. But that's the canal man speaking. I won't do that. But at some point, you look at that tool and you say, well, I wonder what this one does, isn't it? Then you start investigating. Well, depending on how old you are, right? At a certain point, you stop. Yeah. I mean, yesterday I was trying to change, maybe it's age now, I don't know. I was trying to change the profile on my WhatsApp. I mean, I was asking my son. I mean, he's technologically inept. And I was asking how I can change my profile. And then he took my phone from me and I looked at him and said, my God, I'm so finished. This boy is teaching me. Now, I'm the tech guy. It took him years to use an email. He's teaching me how to change my profile picture on WhatsApp. I mean, and I saw and said, wow, this is so bad. I need to. So depending on what age, at some point, you can't keep up, right? So, but what do? You investigate. You find out, I wonder what this button does. What do you do? Someone will do something, and you go, how did you do that? I mean, there's something in vogue now. Is it GIF, they call it? Yeah. They use GIFs to express emotion. I don't know how to do that. I have to learn at the end of this service. Yeah? Or you use nice, what do you call this? They use fire, love, emojis, yeah? So we don't talk anymore, we just put images, right? We're actually sliding backwards. We are regressing, but they call it progress, yeah? Once they're going to, you know, before you say, don't even talk, just text. So don't even text, use image to express your emotion. My God, we are dying. We're just dying. Seriously, we are dying, right? So use images. Then from there was a smiling faces, put a smiling face, it's happy. So gradually, they are cleaning our brains. Yeah, we become robots. That's where we are going to. Watch our 5 years' time. That's where we are going to. But But if you are really serious about communication, being on the top trend, what do you do? Say, oh, how did you do that? I said, oh yeah. Ask a teenager. So, oh yeah, oh, do this. I said, I have learned now. Same thing with Thanksgiving as a tool. When last did you see the war? When last did you actually ask yourself, what more can this thing do? What more can it do? I mean, think about it. Jesus was limited. And he took bread. Don't you ask yourself, how did he do that? If you are really serious as a Christian, right, which I think you are serious and you should be, right, would you say, I wonder what will happen if I do the same thing? Lord, I thank you. Concerning this matter, I thank you. And I'm going to leave it and come back and see what did my Thanksgiving do. I mean, from the heart. You've got to practice. And then we see the same situation again in when there are two miracles that stood out in the time of Jesus. One was the feeding of the 5,000, the 4,000, because that was a big deal. That was massive. You and I know it wasn't humanly possible. And then Lazarus. They told him that your friend is dead. He said, oh, don't worry, he's sleeping. We'll fix him when we get there. I said, no, you don't understand. He's actually dead. He's gone. This case is closed. He said, with the 4 more days. And then he shows up. 4 more days, in those 4 days, we don't know what he did. But we eventually knew, he gave us a hint. And then when he got to the tomb, he said, Lord, I thank you because you hear me always. And I thank you because you have heard me, he said. That gave me a clue. So all those times we were waiting for him, physically and naturally, it looked like he wasn't doing anything, but he's been praying. And he's been thanking God about his friend, about a situation that was classified as closed. Analyze that. Practice it. Test it. Prove it. Ask your neighbor, how is that Thanksgiving emoji going for you? How is that Thanksgiving gif going on for you? He said, Well, on iPhone 7, it does like this. On iPhone 8, it does like this. Well, if you have Android, it does like this. Okay. Then let me go test this out. You test it. You prove it. Listen, we own this world. We own this world. And you are here for a purpose. We own this world. And you are destined to rule. We own this world. And you are destined to influence. You are destined to be the head and not the tail. God needs you on this earth. But you must do your case study, you must do your analysis, you must practice. Practice is what brings perfection. Now, that brings me to consistency. If you look at the life of Jesus, he was very consistent. He was very focused and he was very consistent. Are you consistent? You've got to be consistent. Many of us, we cannot pray one simple prayer consistently over a period of time. We lack spiritual stamina. Now listen very carefully, we do the talk. You know, we always do the talk because we've been in church for so long. Who can do the talk? Who cannot do church talk? I mean, unless your father and mother were just wicked people, didn't go to, I mean, from a baby, you've been introduced to church talk all your life. There's no one who can do church talk. So we are all like that woman in the world. You already have some form of knowledge, right? In fact, many of us got that knife by osmosis. Yeah. You hang around Christians for a very long time. You start talking like one of them. The same thing. Your parents go to church after some time. You just start talking like your parents. Yeah. You know, have you ever seen a kid, 2-year-old kid or 1-year-old kid? You know, you see their parents speak in tongue, right? Ask a two-year-old kid to pray. What does he do? Anybody can speak in tongue. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what am I saying effectively? What I'm saying, church, is that you have some bad habits right now. You have some bad habits. This requires personal examination. You don't know. If it's not working, it's because you don't know. Does that make sense? Or you don't know how to work it. Does that make sense? But I want you to be hungry. And I want you to see Thanksgiving as a tool. I want you to go practice. So Jesus gave thanks. And he says, listen, if there's anything you need to master, master giving thanks. Say, but this is the will of God for you. Master how to give thanks, he will give you a great wife. Master how to give thanks, he will give you a great husband. Master how to give thanks, he will give you a great job. Master how to give thanks. Say, because this is his will. This is his will. You want to do his will, you give thanks. And praise is one way you express thanksgiving. Does that make sense, church? Right? It's not rocket science. It's as simple as that. But you know what I'm saying about this message of salvation? It's too simple. It's so simple that we won't practice. It's so simple we won't practice, we won't do it. Even if we do it, we do 100 miles an hour today, we do 0 miles tomorrow. Then we say, there's a problem. Then we do 90 miles an hour, then we burn off after 3 days. No. Consistency is always the rule of this game. Consistency is the rule of this game. Hebrews 10:35. Tell your neighbor to be consistent. Tap them, say, stay consistent. Yeah. I want you to take your faith serious. I mean serious. Study, search, pray, seek, compare. Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, verse 35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. See, when you are consistent, after a period of time, consistency will grow your confidence. Consistency will grow your confidence. Take one piece of scripture and pray that scripture same day consistently. You will be shocked how much faith is pumped inside you. You'll be shocked how confident you become in the things of God. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. Look at it. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What is the will of God? Give thanks. So that after you have what? Given thanks, you will receive the promise. I want to listen very carefully. There's no point complaining. I say it over and over and over. There's no point super analyzing what is not working. There's no fruit in it. If you are in a pickle, there's no point telling neighbor one, neighbor two, neighbor three, and then let ask them what they think about their problem. They cannot help you. But you see, don't live like the world, right? Don't just embark on an exercise of fertility because it gives you some kind of emotional release. After burying your heart to this brother Bosun right now, and tell him how frustrated I am as a pastor, and tell him how then God has heard my cry. What is that? What will he say? Oh, you see, I'm so broke. There's no money. Right now, my wife and I, we are loggerheads. If you hear what she told me this morning, I'll go there. And then he'll just say, she told you that? If it's me, I won't take it from any man or any woman. I say, yes, what will you do? And he will tell you, then ask yourself, now that you have told neighbor one, neighbor two, neighbor three, analyze it. Put on your academic gown and cap. Has the issue really changed? Has it changed? What exactly do you want? Is it somebody to bear your heart to and let them know how frustrated you are and how angry you are and how emotionally handicapped you are? Is that what you are looking for? Or you are looking for God's solution? Well, if you are looking for God's solution, God has his own agenda. God has his own process. He has his own methods. He has his own ways. He has his own tools. He has his own plans. You have to go by that plan. I can't just wake up right now and say, where I come from, we drive on the right side of the road, or is it left? We drive right here, correct? Is it right to drive here? I just drive. Yeah? We'll do left here, right? I can't just show up here and just start driving on the right. I say, what's wrong with all these crazy people that are driving on the left? You know, there are people who see things like that today. I know a guy came in from the right there, and then he was complaining about the way we drive in England. And then he was really telling me, all of you from America, your cars are too small. I picked up from the airport. When you are doing that spiral car park, and all the while I was driving, it was doing like that. Yeah, and I was still back, and my car is fairly big, very sizable. And I said, oh, all of you in England. And they started lamenting. Started telling me how small England is and how tiny it is. And all your cars are so ding. And I just looked at him. As if it was my old self. I would just offload him on the motorway. I'm telling you, what is the point of this conversation? What do you want me to do about the site? What? Look, the next time you complain to anybody, assess them. So what do you want me to do about the size of British roads? What on earth? Why am I having this conversation on the M25 with this guy who has no clue who he's talking to? Like, I care. I don't care whether we drive on a single lane. I don't care whether we drive on a six lane. It doesn't bother me. It's not in my interest. And I don't care how you feel. I don't care how you feel. Go left to me. I should shove you off my car right now because it's driving me nuts. I need a moment. I see, I remember that I'm Jesus' son. You guys are very wicked people. You are negatively influencing me. You bring the bad out of any pastor. If you're going to do it, listen, you have only one life. If you're going to try out anything, try Jesus' way. Try Jesus' way. 2001. You hear my story before. You hear it again. You hear until you start hearing my voice in your sleep. My wife and I were broke. We had a company. The company was broke. It was a Sunday morning. And then we listened to a message. 8:45 in the morning. Service starts 9 o'clock. About 8:30 in the morning. And then we got to the part of this message. There was praise and worship going on. We started thanking God and dancing. Nobody knew what we're going through. Nobody sent us to go and start a company. Can you imagine me telling you, oh, my company is broke? Did you send me? You know what I'm saying? Look, this is England. Only your pastor loves you. Your neighbor has his problem. You mean your neighbor should forget his problem for a moment because of you? For what? What are you giving your neighbor? Look, is anybody here for the first time? If it's your first time. Is anybody here for the first time? Hey, I finished myself today. I'm not always like this, but I always try and speak the truth, yeah? Okay? So what you see here, stay here when you leave here, okay? Just take the message, just leave this person alone, all right? Now, that's the fact. I like to be very honest with you, yeah? Because I'm not a guest speaker. You and I, we are in this church. We've been here for 14 years. Yeah? Don't. Look, if you're going to exercise energy, spend it on Jesus' way. Spend it on how did Jesus, as a man, feed 5,000 people from lack. Look for people who will help you thank God over the situation. And maybe peradventure will release the spirit of thanksgiving that brings multiplication. So my wife and I, we danced and we're so excited. We were excited, we were broke. I'm telling you, we had nothing in our family account. The company account was gone. And it's like, this is it. This is it. What are we going to do now? Not a soul in church. Which one are you going to tell in church? The one that is believing God for a job, you are telling that your company has a problem. Company and job, where do you start? Exactly. Think about it. You are sharing a problem with someone who has a bigger problem than you. Right? And they'll be looking at you and they'll be thinking, what an ungrateful car. My goodness. You are telling me about your company. I am believing God for a job. You have employees. You are a foolish man. You know, I know how to do it. They are, the Christians are the best ventriloquists you can ever say. And Christians, they're the best ventriloquists. Can you imagine? Say, this morning, my car wouldn't start. My car was just giving a problem. And the guy doesn't have a car. The person you are competing doesn't have a car. And I say, you don't have a car, eh? If you know who you are talking to right now, you will know them. You are such a foolish woman. That's right. We are the best ventriloquist. We will put a smile on our face and abuse you because you are ignorant. You think your problem is the biggest in the world. So we dance and dance and dance and dance. Went to church that day. No, didn't even bother to have pastor with it. Listen to the word of God, believe the word of God. We're fervent. We are consistent Christians. Pastor Roberts was saying the other day, it was last year. He looked at me and said, Eddie. I said, Pastor. He said, you are so consistent. I said, yeah, I said, we do our best. He said, you are so consistent, you brought me to the same restaurant. When I came to your church last year, we ate here. And he said, you order the same food. You are your wife. I said, oh. So, but I give you that. You're consistent. Yeah. And so we danced and went, and then we left talking. Monday morning, nothing happened. 12 noon, nothing happened. 4 p.m., nothing happened. 5:30 in the morning, my phone went off. Somebody called me and said, can you come to the city? I said, yes. From that visit to the city, we came back with a contract that was big enough to hire people. Thanksgiving. When we say Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, it is true. It still works. But the question is, will you be a great student? Rise to your feet and let us pray.